He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Week in Review Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual money management registered investment advisor firm, also fiduciaries. And I've got Barry Kite with me here today. He's a chartered financial analyst and a certified financial planner. Well, look, we survived another week in the market.
Right? Yeah, we made it, and who knows? Maybe we had some price stability. We got a ways to go, but we'll find out.
Yeah, we made it through earnings season, which is about 95% in the books. We're going to review that, where we're at, because the market is all about earnings, earnings, earnings. You can look at everything else, the news, inflation, the yield curve inversion, but at the end of the day, it comes down to earnings. We survived the CPI report of 8.5% year over year. We survived the PPI report, which came in at 9.8% year over year. We've survived another week of a yield curve inversion. I think we're at about 32 points underwater today. And we're more than likely looking at more Fed rate hikes. I think not more than likely, almost certain. So we got a lot to talk about on today's Week in Review. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual firm. We meet with folks all over the country. We have clients from all over the country. Best Stocks Now show has been on the radio for the last 23 years in different markets. I've written my Best Stocks Now newsletter for the last 23 years. That thing comes out every weekend. I'm polishing it off today, and it will go out tomorrow. You can get 2 free weeks. It only goes out to my clients and my subscribers, who are a lot of do-it-yourselfers, follow Bill Gunderson and Gunderson Capital Management. You can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter by going to our website at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Okay, it was another busy week in the market. It was a good week, though. You know what? I think the market was up most days this week. We had a few earnings warnings. NVIDIA would be one. I can't really think of any other major ones this past week. But overall, I'd call it a very good week. The turnaround continues. We said several weeks ago that the sell-off was over, the correction. The NASDAQ was down 34% from peak to trough since last November. And I saw it start to bottom out and start to turn upwards. And there was a beautiful buying opportunity here recently in the market. We're just about done with earnings season. It definitely was better than expected. The real estate markets are all about location, 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 and the stock market is all about earnings, earnings, earnings. And all in all, you know, those big warnings that I thought we might see from rising inflation, and the supply chain constraints, there were a few exceptions, but overall, they really didn't materialize. I would say the notable warnings from this past quarter, Walmart, you know, on inflation and labor cost rising. Of course, they're already at thin margins, so, you know, they don't have a lot of wiggle room in there. Portillo's Hot Dogs, not exactly a Dow stock, but still an important one, right? A but bellwether.
Yeah,
a chili dog bellwether.
On. Right.
Of course, the Chicago dog, they warned of unprecedented inflation.
But sometimes lots of different parts of the economy go into that hot dog, right?
Well, yeah.
There's a lot of different ingredients in there.
That's right. I mean, wheat from the Midwest, pickles from the pickle capital of the world, which is in North Carolina, Olive, beef.
Tyson Foods.
Yeah. So anyways, we have survived earnings season. It was better than expected. More importantly, the market's looking ahead. It's already priced in this year's earnings, long time ago. It's already pretty much priced in next year's earnings, believe it or not. That's the way the market works. You know, the average investor is looking at today, tomorrow, yesterday, and are so myopic. You know, the average individual investor is so myopic. Instead of looking at the big picture and looking ahead, that's what the market is doing. They're worried about this stock being down 1% today or this one being down 2% today. No, you got to keep in mind the big picture. What is the big picture? In 2009, the S&P got down to 660. And since then, it's gone up to almost 5,000. And what has driven it? Well, it wasn't lithium, it wasn't natural gas, it wasn't oil, it was earnings. That's the fuel that the market runs on. Earnings, earnings, earnings. And my weekly newsletter, I mean, it's a big newsletter. There's a lot in it. It's my own internal research every week as a professional money manager, which I've been for the last 23 years. But, you know, probably the most important section of that newsletter are the earnings forecast for the S&P 500 going forward. Why has the S&P, why did it bottom out in 2009 and has been going up ever since? Because earnings bottomed out in 2009. We were coming out of the financial crisis. And earnings got down to like $55 per share for the S&P 500. And you stick a 16, 17 multiple on that, well, the S&P was worth about 800 at that point in time. But today, the earnings have grown to over $200 per share. And what are we looking ahead to this year, next year, and the year after that? That's going to drive the market. And while those earnings have grown, so has the S&P 500. And you can have, you know, there's all kinds of perma bears out there that throw darts at it and say, well, the Fed created these earnings, buybacks, stock buybacks, easy money. Does your 401k really care where the earnings came from? The earnings were there. The multiple was applied to those earnings, and the market went up. And the future of this market absolutely depends on the future of earnings and earnings forecasts, which we'll get to here in a bit. Also, interest rates, very important. If you're in the bond market at all or in the real estate market, interest rates play a very big role in the overall scheme of things. And we have seen rising interest rates for the first time in 40 years. Okay, 40 years, because inflation has come back into the picture. Okay, so in the week in review, we've got to mention earnings season. We just went through a little bit, but the second biggest story of this past week was the CPI number. It came in at 8.5% year over year, but it didn't go up from last month to this month. So you heard some folks saying, well, there's zero inflation out there. Well, that's not true. There's 8.5% inflation out there. But the good news is, Barry, we were expecting it to go up this month versus last month, and it didn't. And that was a big, wouldn't you say that was a big piece of why the market has done so well this past week?
Yeah, and then of course we were also followed up the next day with a constructive PPI report, which is the producer price index. And so as producers get some of their cost come back under control a bit, well then they're able to pass not have to pass higher prices on to us. But you know, most of that certainly was in the energy space is the reason why both of those reports came in constructively, and so you've seen kind of a move in the market where and especially in the NASDAQ, where you had essentially expectations of potentially lower rates going forward. We'll see how that plays out, but maybe that'll give the Fed a chance to quit with the 75 basis points and stick with the 50 for a bit. Who knows? But they've got a few more important reports coming out before they announce, I think, their findings at the, end of September, I think.
And right? When we come back, I want to just dig in a little bit into that. The PPI was 9.8 year over year. The market seems okay for now. We went through that big sell-off. We did a lot of protecting during the sell-off with inverse funds and cash. But we've, definitely are back in pretty with guns blazing and had a good week. This is Bill Gunderson of Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Week in Review, Best Stocks Now show, brought to you by Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual firm. We meet with folks over the telephone and through Zoom. We make it as easy as possible. Our radio show is heard in many markets across the city, or across the nation. And we just felt like that's the best way to handle it, is to be virtual. And it makes us more efficient. I can focus on the money management, and my staff can focus on servicing our clients all across the country. We publish a newsletter. I do every single week, and it has our portfolios in it. I was pretty busy yesterday, especially. I think I bought 4 new stocks. Amongst the 5 or 6 portfolios that I manage, I bought some stocks definitely in the large cap growth arena yesterday. I think I bought a dividend payer for the dividend and growth portfolio. I know I bought 1 or 2 for the ultra growth, and I might have even got one for the emerging growth portfolio yesterday. Those are the portfolios that I manage here, and Barry and others, they talk to you about where you're at, in your retirement years, the process you're in, where you're at in your lifespan, your risk tolerance, etc., all these kind of important things. And then we kind of determine what mix of the portfolios that would probably be best for you. We are strictly fee-based, absolutely no commission products here, and we are highly focused. I mean, the name of the show is Best Stocks Now. The name of the newsletter is Best Stocks Now. The name of the app that I invented is Best Stocks Now. We don't really believe in being in stodgy old growth stocks of yesteryear, the AT&Ts of the world and the IBMs of the world. The world has changed quite a bit, and there's new technologies, there's new frontiers. There's new leaders in the market, and some of the older stocks are still doing just fine. But we have a proprietary ranking system that we use on 6,100 stocks in our database. It's beststocksnowapp.com. I use it. That's what I use to manage money. If you want to know where the best large cap growth stocks, if that's your style, we can do a screen and find the best large cap growth stocks right now.
It's like your it's kind of like your fish finder, Bill.
That's exactly right. GPS, man.
Yeah, you gotta
point
get
me in the right direction.
Yeah.
My office. I'm headquartered in Charleston, South Carolina. I see tomorrow they're having a big king mackerel tournament offshore. Well, you know what? You better have some numbers.
So, I think Michael Jordan's boat was in that last year. He's got one that's an ownership
really?
Boat out of North Carolina. Yeah, but I believe he was. I don't necessarily believe he was on the boat, but I believe his boat was here for that tournament last year.
I bet that's a beautiful boat with a lot of leg room in it. Yeah, and, right. But, you know, I mean, with gasoline at $7 a gallon on the harbor here, you better have some GPS numbers. You don't want to be wasting 900 gallons of gas tomorrow, you know, going up and down the coastline. Well, the app points me. I focus on the top 10% by my rankings. The rankings are based on value and momentum, the two together. I have found over the years that just being a value investor alone, you get a lot of value traps. They might be cheap, but they're cheap for a reason. And on the other hand, the momentum stocks, which did so well in 2020, when all of a sudden we have some events when people wake up to valuations, boy, those stocks can go through a hefty correction. I mean, look at Cathie Wood's ARK funds, which are down like 75% from their high. You don't want to get caught in momentum stocks that are way... I like to mix value with momentum, the two together. Okay, now I just want to go back here to this CPI and PPI. Everything inside of those reports was up, okay? The only reason we were flat month over month was because oil and gasoline, which is a big part of that report, they were down 9%. And, of course, the administration has been releasing and selling oil out of the strategic reserve, and they're going to continue to do that. And were it not for that 9% drop in gas, I mean, you see it. You drive by gas stations every day. We look at the price, and you've seen it come down. But, you know, it's starting to head back up again, so... I'm almost thinking that this drop or this flattening out of inflation might be transitory. We may start heading back up again with oil. And I saw natural gas really spiked yesterday. And, you know, I mean, they've got big issues in Europe, big issues. If, the more they shut down that pipeline from Russia, which may be shut off entirely, there's still going to be a real squeeze on the supply side of things. And the market lately has been saying, well, you know, maybe we're kind of going into a little recession here. The demand side probably will drop. But I think you're going to see oil continue to go higher. And that's still a pretty favorable sector in the market. You know, so far this year, 2022, we've pretty much focused on energy of all sorts, okay, because there's a crisis. Number one, you had the Russia invasion of Ukraine. And number two, you've got this transition to renewable fuels. So that's created a lot of opportunity in natural gas stocks. It's created opportunity in oil and gas stocks. It's created opportunity in the refinery stocks and, of course, in the solar stocks. Any kind of renewable diesel fuel or renewable aviation fuel, those have been some really good spots in the market this year. And, you know, this bill that passed, well, it hasn't passed yet. It's gotten by the Senate, the bill that Joe Manchin finally gave in. That's really set the solar stocks on fire. And I would call the solar stocks this past week the sector of the week. They were just flying, whether it was First Solar, whether it was Sunrun, whether it was Enphase, whether it was Solar Edge, or just one of the broad ETFs like TAN, which is the solar ETF. It's full of solar stocks. That was definitely the group, the sector of the week. And a couple of stocks stood out. You know, oil and gas had a good week, too, this past week. The oil and gas stocks like Valero and Marathon.
Especially the refiners, yeah.
Yeah, the refiners and, you know, Continental Resources. And, of course, we really like Equinor, which is out of Norway, because they're going to help out with Europe's big problem. And a lot of these stocks we've written up. We're very prolific. We try to get out one article a week for Seeking Alpha. And our ranking is in like the top 2% of all the writers out there on Seeking Alpha. You can go there, seekingalpha.com, look up Bill Gunderson, and look at the articles we've written lately about the market and about individual stocks, which we'll talk some more about when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review. We'll be right back. back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Week in review. We had a pretty good week in the market. Earnings season is over now pretty much for Q2 of 2022. We are now smack dab in the middle of Q3 2022. What are we expecting at the next earnings season, which will begin in early October? Well, we update that because the market trades on expectations. And tracking those expectations, I know of no better indicator for market analysis than earnings expectations. We have a graph in our newsletter every week of where the earnings have been over the last 15 years and where we think they're headed this year, next year, and the year after that. What we have seen this year that we haven't seen in a long time is a contraction of the multiple. That's the P.E. ratio, you see. We multiply those earnings by a multiplier to come up with the target price. And the reason we've seen a contraction in the multiple, that's what caused the 34% sell-off in the NASDAQ earlier this year, was a contraction in the multiple. The multiple contracts when interest rates go up. Now, interest rates have settled down a little bit, Barry. I think we're at 2.88% on the 10-year. And we also have an inverted yield curve. The 2-year is at 3.10, somewhere in there. No, 3.20.
Yeah, right, 3.26 as of today. So we're right at about 40 basis points, where we've kind of been hovering around that, 30 to 40 basis point difference between the 2-year, inversion, the 2-year being higher than the 10-year. So.
And historically, an inverted yield curve has been a pretty solid indicator of a recession down the road. Now, we know that we've already had 2 negative quarters of GDP this year, or the first 2 quarters. That technically is the definition of a recession. We don't know what the third and fourth quarter will bring, but that's going to be very important to watch. So, that's where the Fed, you hear this soft landing or hard landing. The Fed is aggressively raising interest rates to get inflation under control. This is the worst inflation we've had in 40 years. You got to go back to the Paul Volcker years of 1982. But at the same time, the Fed doesn't want to throw us into a recession because rising interest rates, that cuts deep into the real estate market. It cuts deep into the automobile sales. Anything that's bought on credit is impacted. There's no more of that loose money floating around at low interest rates. And so they don't want to create a hard landing and put us into a recession, which is kind of what the bond market is predicting will happen. But at the same time, I find that a better indicator than the yield curve for the future of the market is those earnings estimates, okay? If we're going to go into a recession or stay in a recession, we're already in a mild recession, well, then you're going to see an earnings recession. Companies like AMD and Microsoft and Facebook and all at Google, they're going to start guiding their earnings lower, and that's going to start showing up in the expectations. We're not seeing that right now. In fact, we just came through pretty much unscathed.
And that was pretty much our biggest worry going into this.
It was definitely our biggest worry.
And I know sometimes you give grades, Bill. What in terms of earnings season, I may be a bit early. I don't know if you've diagnosed them all, but in terms of a grade, what would we? They certainly overshot what we were
expecting.
Yeah,
most of the earnings seasons recently have been an A. This one's probably a B. We're not running at 20% growth anymore year over year because those COVID quarters are in the rearview mirror now. We're running about 7 or 8%, year over year growth, which isn't bad. And even this past week, you saw Disney came in, a Dow stock, and had pretty good earnings. The stock was up big on that day. The only warning we had this past week was NVIDIA, which is one of the best chip stocks in the world. But all in all, yeah, I'm going to give it a B on earnings season. It was good enough to keep this rally, which began really about 6 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. I mean, we had a major downtrend in the market. I'm a guy that does a lot of technical analysis along with fundamental analysis. I look at about 1,000 stock charts every day, and about 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, I started to see that bottom in the NASDAQ. What happens is you've got this serious downtrend, and all of a sudden it starts to flatten out, okay, like a plane coming in for a landing. And it finally did that and started building that bottom. Then you got to watch and make sure that bottom is going to hold, which it did. And then when it starts to point up again, which it did about 3-4 weeks ago, then that's a good buying opportunity, because at that point in time you say, boy, we could be starting a new uptrend in the market. And it did exactly that, and it followed through. And we've had some pretty good weeks since then. Now, if it's going to continue, you can't have a black swan event, obviously. Those are always possible. We can't have a bunch of companies guiding their earnings lower. We had very few of those. Walmart was a big one. I think Target's going to report next week. That could be a big bellwether report for the retail sector. And a few other companies warned, but for the most part, it was kind of business as usual. CEOs doing a good job in a tough environment, an inflationary environment, an environment where the supply chain is still clogged up, and an environment where the Fed, the wind is in our face. Now, I want to talk about the bond market just for a minute. We don't own any bond funds at all. I don't care if you're 70, 80 years old and the asset allocation models say that you should have 80% in bond funds. Bond funds are very, very susceptible. They go the opposite way of interest rates. And as interest rates continue to rise, bond funds go down. Now, I run an individual bond fund, and I have it hedged with an inverse ETF, which, by the way, had a pretty good week, Barry. Old TBT is an inverse ETF against interest rates. As interest rates go up, this ETF goes up as the bond market goes down. So that has helped, it helped with our bond fund, which has about 10 individual bonds in it, something like that. The bond fund had a very good week, actually.
And we made a couple of purchases at the end of the last week for folks that have been in the bond portfolio, but that are new to the bond portfolio.
Right.
And we've been sitting, until clients, we probably hadn't bought a bond, probably last year and a half.
No.
Up to that point, we've just kind of been, earmarking it and just, kind of having it in cash, because that's really the only way at that particular time where you were dampening some of the volatility, because in reality, mutual funds, bond mutual funds, have actually added to the volatility of folks' portfolios this year versus, being somewhat of an anchor or zigging when the equity markets are zagging. So,
well, yeah, and that brings up the subject of the whole, a big part of our industry, the financial management industry, went towards this passive management movement. I call it the dumbing down or the McDonaldization. You get a lousy hamburger no matter where you go in the world from a McDonald's. And I see that passive management. Okay, well, passive management is fine until the whole world changes. You've had falling interest rates for 40 years, okay? That all changed last year.
Yeah, and the day after, from the Fed's perspective, right, the day after Thanksgiving.
Yes, and so that you have to adjust your portfolios. When you get a major sea change like that, you have to be active. The second shoe to drop, which is also related to rising interest rates, you got to get off the railroad tracks if you own high PE growth stocks, because they're right in the target of rising interest rates. And as that multiple PE ratios contract, obviously, a company with a 70 PE is much more vulnerable than one with a 10 or 15 PE ratio. So you had to get out of those high-flying, high PE stocks quite some time ago. That's why we believe in being active. And you can also use some of the inverse ETFs to hedge your portfolio by buying some of the inverse ETFs against those high PE stocks. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about a few individual stocks that stood out this past week. This is Bill Gunnarsson and Barry Keit.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, week in review. And it was a pretty good week in the markets this past week. We had that cooler than expected PPI report, cooler than expected CPI report. But still, the CPI was up 8.5% year over year. The PPI up 9.8% year over year. So those rate hikes by the Fed, they're going to continue. There's no question about that. The earnings season is pretty much in the books. We're looking ahead to 2024 now. We're looking ahead that far to earnings expectations. We're putting a multiple on those earnings expectations, and we're establishing target prices. And everybody has their target price out there. I think the consensus is around 4,900 or something like that for the S&P 500 over the next 12 months. I publish my target price. I do believe in market timing, not in and out every single year, but big trends. And if things get a little dicey or wobbly, we go in and we hedge our portfolios to prevent any major disasters. We use inverse ETFs, which we deployed in the spring and early this year, which kind of contained things. And then as things started to get better, we started to we got rid of those inverse funds, and we started to put more and more money to work. Where are we putting it to work? Well, you know, I still like the theme of energy. With all of the movement with the renewable energy and solar and natural gas and nuclear, even there's a lot of opportunities still there. The shipping stocks have done really, really well. And tech has come back quite a bit. And there's still some good values there in tech. There weren't earlier this year, but when the NASDAQ went down 34%, that got rid of a lot of those overvalued stocks, and they became more undervalued. And we always like big dominant companies like AMD in the semiconductor industry that dominate their industry. The healthcare stocks have also done fairly well. I would say continue to avoid anything that is reliant upon a very strong economy, you know, the Caterpillars of the world and even the home builders in a rising interest rate environment, the industrials, the cyclicals that depend on, that rise and fall with the economy. The economy is not really going that great right now. You've had two negative quarters in a row. But we've seen, the energy stocks buck that trend and have actually done well because, you know, they're pretty resilient. Even in a slow economy, you still got to heat your home. You still have to turn the lights on. You still have to travel. You still have to fly. The big boats still have to come in and out of the harbor. It still takes a lot of energy to run the world. Now, when somebody, I've talked to a lot of people in my 23 years of the business, and the complaints I would say I hear most is, it doesn't seem like anybody's really watching my portfolio, it's just sat there, we went through this big sell-off, nobody did anything, I've got some stuff in my portfolio that's way down, why didn't anybody ever do anything? Well, I mean, I believe in vigilance. I mean, we're active. I look at every one of our holdings every single day. Not that I'm in and out and day trading and all of this and that, but just being vigilant, being aware of where they're at. And if I see some big change taking place, I think you also have to limit, put limits on your downside. Some people say, well, how come you sold this stock? Well, you know what? Because things changed. The fundamentals changed. Maybe oil prices started moving lower and started taking the oil stocks with them, which we've had one big sell-off in the oil stocks here so far this year. This past week, I would say the stock of the week, believe it or not, we don't own it. We had a couple of big winners this past week, though, that I will mention. But Verona Pharmaceutical, VRNA, is a smaller biotech that had some really good results in late trials on COPD drug. And that stock, it really flew. I would call that the stock of the week, VRNA. Shockwave Medical also had a really good week. They're changing the way that we treat arterial cardiovascular disease. You know, they're using shockwave therapy. Instead of going up, you know, with the angioplasty and all of this and that, they're doing it with shockwaves. That stock is a monster. It had a huge week. It's having another big day today. It's not cheap. But every once in a while, you know, a medical stock comes along that really changes the way we do things. I remember when Intuitive Surgical came along with the robotic surgery, where the doctor's not even in the operating room, Barry. He's standing.
It's like the old Da Vinci or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. I've seen some huge things come along in medical, and Shockwave definitely is one of those stocks. Oh, I think we had some huge winners this past week.
Yeah, one you, I mean, and finished up the week nice is one you've been hitting on, you know, due to the CHIPS Act, is Global Foundries, GFS.
Yeah, it's having a big day today.
Ending the week up, you know, roughly up double digits at the moment.
Holy
over 11%.
Cow. Yeah, I didn't see. I looked at it this morning and it was up 4 or 5%. It's up 11% right now.
Well, and as you hit it, you know, you've got, you know, Global Foundries is one of the more diversified in terms of geography, you know, chip makers, and in the CHIPS Act will actually some word out that it's going to improve their margins, which in turn will improve their earnings. So nice pop for them today.
All right, well, you know what, people ask us, well, how do you work? Well, you know what, you talk to us first. You get our newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. You set up an appointment if you like what you see, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And then a lot of people, they just transfer their current portfolio to us in kind, and it comes to me, and then it's on my daily watch list. And I start doing some gardening. I put on my gardening gloves. I start doing some trimming. I get the pruning shears out. Sometimes I get the backhoe out and just clean the whole thing out, start all over. I do some weeding, and then I slowly plant. You know, we don't put you all in the next day. As we go along, we add one here and one there, very methodical. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST or start with the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.